You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
2 weeks ago, I really realized I was losing any sense of faith or wonder or anticipation that God was actually working in my life and in my family and in our church and in the nations through this pandemic, this COVID season. I was starting to just feel like it was slipping away, my faith and my hope, and just kind of dwindling. And anxiety and fear was starting to creep in. I think you know what that feels like when the level of your fears and anxieties, just you realize they're starting to rise. And so, what does my future look like? And what about my family? What will the future hold for them? And this one particular morning, about 2 weeks ago, I was sitting, and as is my practice, a lot of mornings I pray a psalm. I've been praying through the book of Psalms for about the last year, and I was in Psalm 66, and I read two verses, and I'm going to read those to you to start today. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him. See what God has done, his awesome deeds. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. These two verses refer back to a significant time in the history of the nation of Israel, a significant portion of the Bible. God was delivering his people, the people of Israel. They had been in captivity for 400 years in the land of Egypt. They entered Egypt as a place of deliverance for them. Famine had hit their land. Egypt had food. You know the story of Joseph, and I won't go through all of that, but God brought them to a place of safety and security in Egypt. But, 400 years later, that place of safety and deliverance had become a place of slavery for them. And so we see at the end of the book of Genesis into the book of Exodus, the story of God delivering his people. One of the miraculous things he did was referenced in the book of Psalms right here, Psalm 66. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. They were being pursued by their enemies. They hit what seemed like something that was impassable. God split the waters. The nation of Israel moved through safely to the other side, and they were freed from their pursuers. Well, this story, the story of the Exodus and God's deliverance of the people of Israel, is told in the Old Testament, but it's repeated so many times in so many places, reminders to keep looking and not forget God's deliverance of his people. So in the book of Psalms and the prophet Isaiah, Jesus himself, in some of the letters of the New Testament, we're reminded. There's retellings, there's reminders, there's warnings woven throughout the Bible. Dream on what to do in the wilderness. So the parallels of Egypt to the wilderness to the promised land, maybe they're not perfect to what we're going through today, but the principles are timeless. So beginning that morning in my comfy chair in my bedroom, I started to do a lot of thinking. And for a few days, I was stuck on these two verses. That reminder of God's mighty deliverance of the people of Israel. And I began to think of other places in the scripture where this story was retold. And it was told as a lesson to us and a reminder to us. And I turned to one that's maybe a little heavy. We're going to read it, but maybe it's a little heavy and hard to hear because it's a strict warning to us. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 5 to 14. Now Moses, who had led the people out of captivity and into the wilderness, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we indeed hold fast our confidence and our boasting in hope. Now, this is from Psalm number 95, directly written in the book of Hebrews. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me, God speaking about himself, to the test, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Now, here's the encouragement and exhortation for us. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is still called today, that none of you should be hardened by deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold on to our confidence to the end. The Message Bible says this, just one verse of this, like this. So, watch your steps. Make sure there's no evil, unbelief lying around that will trip you up and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. Dream on what to do in the wilderness. Well, somewhere in this however many week-long journey, I started to realize I was hearing a lot, and it was coming out of my own mouth, when things get back to normal. And it wasn't sitting right with me. I started to ask myself, what if normal wasn't as good as what I thought? Currently, we're imagining, we say, I want to get back to normal because we're trying to imagine what the future is going to look like. And we're imagining a life that's going to be worse than the one we had before, and it scares us. We think about ongoing social distancing. We think about economic woes. We think about changes in the workplace and how we shop and going out to eat. And we think about the effects on our kids and what their schooling and education and sports and activities is going to look like in the future. We wonder how and when church will gather again as we knew it. And it's hard to fathom in this still sense of loss from the future, from the past, uncertainty about the future. It's hard to fathom something that might be better. So we cry out for the way things were. This was the story of the people of Israel, and we'll get on to that. So don't get me wrong. I long for some of the things that are easier. I long for the things that that were familiar, the way things were. And I feel like I'm in a bit of a wilderness. Somewhere between the life I knew and an unknown future. And I've, as I've spent time thinking about this, I started to wonder, maybe what lies ahead could be a promised land for us. Maybe there could actually be some things that are better. We can't imagine it because we've never been there. We know what we knew. We know where we're in now. But we can't imagine the future because we've never been there. However, I don't want to complain. I don't want to complain that things were better in our Egypt. I want to wait on the Lord and wonder and ponder and dream on about perhaps how things could be. The wilderness. It feels like a place of wilderness between my old life and maybe a promised land. I want to look forward with hopeful anticipation. Dream on what to do in the wilderness. Well, the nation of Israel, I can learn from them a lot of things not to do. It wasn't a good time in their lives. Those 40 years, this was not a good time. They complained. They told Moses it would have been better if we had died in Egypt. they reminisced, oh, all the good food we used to have. We had pots full of meat and we had bread. They complained about their misfortunes. The Bible says, in the hearing of God, God noticed what they were complaining about. I like this one. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost us nothing. They were slaves. It cost them something. But you know how your memory of past things can get twisted a little. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost us nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. And I started to think in my pondering in my comfy chair, what if we're actually longing for the leeks and the onions and the garlic of Egypt when God has some kind of figurative milk and honey of a promised land ahead of us? Hebrews has some tough words for people in tough situations. And boy, it's a good book right now if you just want the encouragement of who God is to read through. But I'm going to pick out a few things from what we read this morning and from the book of Hebrews. But here's some things I do know about this time in the wilderness. Here's my don'ts. Don't get hard or cynical. Don't wander off. Stay, set God and don't set God and good aside. Don't lose good, healthy habits of your spirituality. And don't lose faith. Don't question, where is God in the midst of this? We know who our God is, and he's moving in our lives. Don't get hard. Don't wander off. Don't lose faith. Do rest in God. Remain in him. Stay in him. Trust in him. Do encourage one another. Maybe we can't be together, but we can shout out words of encouragement to one another. We can call Zoom and Skype. And do be confident. God's got this thing. This is our confidence. Again, from the book of Hebrews, this is our confidence. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3 reminds us of the very essence of our faith. The very essence of that which we stand upon. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hey, in the wilderness, we're hoping for things and we don't see them, but our faith is the assurance of those things, the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand. Well, I'm going to probably read this twice. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things visible. So what we see today was not made out of things that were visible. This is the essence of our faith, that what the future holds for us, that what is to be created, we don't see right away, but this is faith. It's an assurance and it's a conviction of good to come. So today, let's dream on, what are we going to do in the wilderness? And I have three things. I want to imagine, I want to dream, and I want to pray. Imagine. Imagine a life where we don't lose the gifts and the goodness we've discovered. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of challenges in 2020. And there's a lot of hardships. Some people right now that we know in our church family aren't working. All our families have kids at home 24/7, and they're wondering when school's over what the summer's going to look like. And our youngest son is doing his University of Waterloo math classes here in our home. That was not what he expected his university life to look like. And I know there's stress on marriage, and I know for those of you living alone, I can't fathom the week in, week out. I know there's such an awareness right now of how far away some of our extended family is, because I think most of us in our church have family that live outside of Canada. A little aside, a week and a half ago, Bert and I went to a Zoom wedding. We've known this bride for a long time, and you can imagine, ladies, that a Zoom wedding was probably not what she dreamed of. And yet, it was bittersweet, because knowing and loving this woman, to watch her walk down the aisle of a beautiful, magnificent church in Manhattan, and the pews were empty. And yet the beauty and the presence of God as the vows were spoken and the wedding ceremony and the Zoom reception after, where we hung out with the bride and groom and all the people who attended their wedding. And it, to me, it was like such a picture of life right now, where it's hard and it's not what we thought we would, it's not what we thought we would be doing at this point in our life. Who could have imagined this? And yet, we've all tasted some sweetness. I've been asking, and I have been asked in this time of social distancing, what's one good thing? You know, you've been asked the question, what's one good thing that this season has given you and that you don't want to lose? So in the midst of the challenges, we all can identify some things where we go, huh, this is sweet. And it's good. And if I can hold on to this, this would actually be beauty to carry forward into whatever the next season of life looks like. Family time. Boy, that's been a common theme. Things I've heard. Reconnecting with old friends. If we were all here together, I'd probably get you to put up your hand and acknowledge how many people have reconnected with somebody that they hadn't talked to in a really long time. For me, it's been a couple of different people. Connection across the miles, somehow with all our technology that we're getting really good at using, we're connecting with people that maybe we would have talked to a little less frequently. Meals together, every night sitting down around the dinner table, time with kids, unpressured time with kids. And I think we are realizing there's a lot of difference between running kids in the car to an activity and sitting and watching a movie and cuddling on the couch and building a puzzle and playing a family game. And how about for us Toronto people, less time commuting? And so we're seeing some things, some good things, and we don't want to lose them. And some of them, a lot of them are relational things and how our time is being spent. Imagine a life ahead. Imagine with me a life ahead where some of the goodness and the gifts that we have just tasted of in these last 3 months, the things we've discovered, we don't lose. I've realized it might mean a reordering of my future life and my priorities. And it might be God's gift to each of us. Imagine. The next one I want to think about is dream. I think to dream of the world and our world as a different place, we kind of have to acknowledge the things that are broken. And, you know, when things get back to normal, when we say that and think it and long for it, when things get back to normal, maybe we need to stop and pause and realize maybe normal wasn't quite as good as what we would like to pretend. Maybe it was good for my family and it wasn't good for yours. Maybe it was good for me, but not for the neighbors. Maybe it was good for me in the middle class, but not the poor, who are suffering far more from COVID right now and the effects of that than I am, safe in my lovely home. When things get back to normal, what if normal wasn't quite as good as what we have held on to it being? We think about overwork and exhaustion. We think about, and we talk in our church about, the mental health crisis that our nation faces. We think about stress-related illness. We think about limited family time with our immediate families, limited family time with our extended families, limited family time with our spiritual family. I have to acknowledge, when I look realistically at the decline in church attendance, gradually, bit by bit, over the last number of decades, the people who know and love Jesus and are part of a church family in the Western world has declined. Statistically, parents, statistically, there'll be a number of your kids who, if things keep going on as normal, will walk away from their church, will walk away from church in their adult life. I don't want to scare you, but I do want to be sober that maybe what we're longing for, maybe God has something better for us. And if I'm to dream, it's not just for me. It's not just to say, oh, I just want to get back to my normal because it was so good. I want to admit, maybe not all was good. Maybe God has given us a taste of some things that are sweeter and better. And maybe we can dream of a future that starts to look different. To dream of a better future, we have to acknowledge some of the brokenness of what we've come out of what we lived through, of what we've lived in. I can't talk about dreaming about a better future without acknowledging a man named George Floyd and the crisis in the United States. To be honest, when I first heard of his death, I just couldn't face it, and I couldn't watch the video, and my heart just went, not again, not another black man losing his life at the hands of a police officer. And yet, it's some of the brokenness we need to face. And you know, it's not just an American thing. Statistically, blacks in Canada have, across the board, a lower household income. They face more racially motivated crime. They face things, poverty, a higher level of poverty among the blacks in Canada than even any other visible minority. So if we're going to dream about a better future, we've got to acknowledge the brokenness in the world that we're living in. Yesterday, for my own sake, I pulled up the video of Dr. Martin Luther King from 1963. And if you've never watched it, if you've never watched probably one of the most famous speeches, if you Google famous speeches of all times, this speech, I Have a Dream, comes up in the top 10, no matter what search you look at. And in that speech, in the Capitol of the United States, Washington, D.C., in 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King acknowledged the way things were supposed to be, that all men are created equal, acknowledged the fall of mankind, that that was not the state of the world, of the United States in that time, the creation, the fall, but acknowledged a hope that one day things could be different. And I just pulled one line out of his speech. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. So what if some of the things that we've tasted in a life that looks a little different are good? And what if we acknowledge that maybe the place that we've come from and that God's bringing us out of, maybe back to normal isn't really what we want. Maybe we want to dream like Dr. King about a future that could look different. We want to imagine, we want to dream, and then we want to pray. The verses that we started out reading from Hebrews chapter 3, the last verse that I read said, we have come to share in Christ. We've come to share in Christ, our Savior and Messiah. We have come to share in Christ. If indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Hebrews talks a lot about being confident. In fact, 5 times in the book of Hebrews, we are exhorted not to lose our confidence, not in who we are, not in mankind, but we are to hold on to our confidence in who God is and who we are in Him. We've come to share in Christ. If we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Later on in Hebrews chapter 4, one of my favorites says, "Let us then with confidence draw to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." We can be confident that we have the warnings of the grumbling and complaining of the nation of Israel. Don't live like that, the scripture exhorts us. But remember the deliverance of God in the past. Hope and dream for the deliverance and the hand of God in the future. And draw near to the throne of God. Draw near, pray, draw near to God in confidence that we may receive mercy, mercy and grace, grace that was purchased for us by our Lord Jesus. And what might we pray about? You know, I think, I've been thinking about personally prayers of repentance. Have I chased after the wrong things? Have I chased after financial success, material things, maybe at the expense of family? Maybe holding on to things that just seem familiar and being unwilling to let go and to come into a place of trusting God, a place of, you know, Jesus called Peter out of the boat onto walking on the water, and everybody goes, "Ooh, you know, wow, look at Peter walking on the water. Oh, he sank." But you know what? Walking out into a storm and something that's unfamiliar, we need the grace of God in our life to face what's unfamiliar in our future. So maybe it's a time to look at our hearts and go, what have I held on to that I wasn't supposed to? What have I elevated? What in a city like Toronto am I pursuing that everybody around me is pursuing that maybe is just a little off from what God would have for me? When I was a young Christian and I'd go to prayer meetings and we'd pray for the nation, and we always prayed this scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses, we prayed 14, but we got to do 13 and 14 because it's important in context. When I shut up the heavens, God says, so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, or maybe a coronavirus, a pandemic. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. That's a personal one. That's yours and mine. Then what does God say? He says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. This used to just like weigh me. I wanted to plug my ears about an 18-year-old when I heard this, because it felt like it was all on me. If God was ever going to move in my nation, then I needed to humble myself and pray and seek my face and turn from my wicked ways. And yes, that is what the scripture's exhorting us, to look in our own hearts and to look in our own lives. But he's the one. He says, I'll do it. I'll heal your land. I'll hear. I'll forgive. I'll heal the land. So maybe it's a season to pray and look at our own hearts. And I think it's a season to pray for our land to be healed. And I think it's a season to pray for God to be famous. And just before I close out, I spent quite a lot of days thinking about every time the story of God's deliverance of the nation of Israel is recounted. And there's a place in the book of Joshua. So the people of Israel, they had been moved to Egypt. all was good and then all was not good. They were slaves there for 400 years. God delivered them. They spent that 40 years in the wilderness. And then finally, they cross into the promised land. And one of the first things they had to do in the promised land was face a city called Jericho. They sent two spies in. And the spies were almost caught, like a good movie that would be. There'd be some danger there, but this was real life. And the spies were almost caught. And a woman named Rahab, who did not have a clean and stellar past, hid those two men. But here's what she said. And think about the time frame as you read this. Think about how many years before this incident had occurred. She said, Rahab said to these slaves, they're going, why are you saving us? And she said, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. 40 plus years later, the people of Jericho knew the story of Israel's deliverance. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, she goes on to say. And there was no spirit in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. I want my God to be famous. I am praying in this pandemic that God would change hearts and lives. People who were far from God would hear of his voice, would hear of who he was, that he is a God of the heavens and the God of the earth, and that people would be drawn to him and come to faith, even as Rahab. Hundreds of years later, in the genealogy of Christ, Rahab's name is mentioned in Jesus' genealogy. So I want to look at my own heart. I want to pray for my nation. I want to pray that God would be famous. And finally, to close, this morning I was reading, part of my morning reading was Titus chapter 2, and verse 11 just starts out like this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. The grace of God was personified in Jesus. And my reminder for me, and for you right now, in this season that feels like wilderness, that feels like it's hard to stay, not just longing for what's behind us, but hard to stay in that place of faith that God perhaps has something better for us ahead, not just for me and you, but for our nation, for people who do not know him. The grace of God has appeared. The grace of God was personified in Jesus, who lived the life we could never live, who died the death we should have died, who paid for the very grace in our lives that we can come to know him. And yes, we need to, as Chronicle said, seek the Lord, humble ourselves, pray. But ultimately, the weight of this was taken upon the shoulders of Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection. So let's pray today that our hearts would be lifted, that we could imagine goodness ahead of us, that we could acknowledge the brokenness and the world that we live in, and that we could pray and stand together for what God has in the days and years to come. Father, move in our land, we pray. Start with us. Start with your people. Thank you for the good things you're showing us in this time. And Lord, those things that have held us back and dragged us down and been distractions in our lives, show us. Bring us to a new place of freedom. Bring us to a place of hope. Let us imagine a life that is different. Let us imagine. Give us glimpses of a life that you have for us. Let us dream and stand together to see our land changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.